Masechet Shabbos Perek Vav Mishnah Zayin until Perek Vav Mishnah Yud. We're continuing to discuss the items of clothing with which one is allowed to go out into a public domain on Shabbos. And as we have seen, in order to be able to do so, it has to be an item of clothing. It can't be considered something which you are carrying. And as well as that, even if it is an item of clothing, it has to be something which you are not likely to take off in order to show people. Because if you are, then you might come to carry it for 4 amos by itself without wearing it, which would be forbidden. And we learned in the previous Mishnah that one is allowed to go out with a button which is tied to the shoulder part of their cloak and is used to close and fasten the cloak. This is considered a necessary part of the item of clothing and a part which you are not likely to take off in order to show people. So the Mishnah is going to tell us that you can use different types of objects as this button. Preface a lot even, one can use a stone as a button. Val ho'egez, you can use a nut as well. Or even a coin, if these are functioning as buttons of the cloak, then you can go out like that on Shabbos. However, other than the problem of carrying on Shabbos, there's a different problem at hand over here. And that is, a coin is muktzah, which means it is set aside for a use other than for Shabbos. Coins are usually used for buying and selling, which is forbidden on Shabbos, and therefore a coin is muktzah for Shabbos. As well as that, even a stone is muktzah, since it has no use on Shabbos. So the truth is, a stone and a coin, although they are both muktzah, a coin is considered more muktzah than a stone. And the reason for this is because a stone, if you don't set it aside for a particular use, then it has no use at all. And because of that, as long as you set this stone aside as the button before Shabbos comes in, that's good enough and you'll be able to use that button on Shabbos, since once you set aside the stone for the button, you're unlikely to change that stone and use it for something else, because the stone doesn't really have any other use. However, when it comes to a coin, since the coin has many uses, and using it as a button is not the most common use at all, so just by setting the button aside before Shabbos and saying that you'll use it as a button does not remove its muktzah status, because it's likely that you'll change the coin's usage and end up later using it for money. So just by setting it aside as a button does not really give it the status of a button, and therefore it remains muktzah. The only way you'll be able to use the coin as a button on Shabbos is uvilvad shalei tifrav lechachila b'Shabbos, as long as you don't make it into a button for the first time on Shabbos itself. If you make it into a button before Shabbos comes in, and you actually use it as a button, so now you've shown that this is functioning as a button, and it will no longer be muktzah, because then it is certainly set aside for Shabbos use. Mishnah Ches, Hakiteya, somebody who has not got a foot, for example, if his foot was amputated for medical reasons, yetze b'kav shalei, he can go out with his fake foot, something made out of wood which makes it look as if he still has a foot. Rabbi Meir, that is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The reason being, the Rabbi Meir looks at this as a shoe, and just like one is allowed to go out into a Rosh Hashanah with a shoe, because it's considered an item of clothing, so too this person can go out with this kav, with this fake foot. However, Rabbi Yasi Iser, Rabbi Yasi forbids this, the reason being that this person wouldn't support himself with these shoes, with these fake feet. In order to walk, he would require crutches as well. And because of that, you cannot consider these fake feet as shoes. The only reason why he's wearing them is to hide the fact that he has no feet, but that is not enough to consider it an item of clothing, and it is therefore forbidden to take out on Shabbos. Now the Mishnah is going to go slightly sidetracked to the laws of Tumah, impurity, and the halach is that a wooden item can only become Tomei if part of it can contain other things. So flat wooden objects cannot become Tomei, but if, let's say, it's a wooden cup, so that can hold other things, and therefore it can become Tomei. Now you would think that since this person's leg is placed in this wooden foot, so that means that the wooden foot has a sort of hole and it contains the leg, so you would think that it should be able to become Tomei. However, that is not the case, because as we said before, this person is not able to support himself on this fake foot. And because of that, we do not consider the fake foot to be holding his leg. Rather, his leg is sort of holding and lifting up the fake foot. And so the fake foot cannot become Tomei. However, Vim Yeshli Beis Kibul Kisusin, if the fake foot has a part which can hold small cushion-like material, meaning before the leg was placed into the foot, often some soft padding was placed in the foot, so that it will be more comfortable for the leg. So if the fake foot holds that, so it is considered to be holding that, and therefore the fake foot will be able to become Tomei, impure, if something which is already Tomei touches that fake foot. Alright, so the first case of our Mishnah was discussing somebody who was missing one foot, and to solve that, he has a fake wooden foot. The next case is somebody who is missing both feet, and as such, it won't really help him to have two fake feet, and instead he walks around on his knees. And in order to protect his knees, he would also have some cushion-like material, which he would use to sort of slide across the floor. Now, before we discuss whether one is allowed to go out with this on Shabbos, we're going to discuss the halachos of tumah again. And there's a very severe type of tumah known as tumas medros, or tumas midros. And this refers to something which is designated for humans to support their weight on, for example, a chair or a bed. And when somebody who has a severe level of tumah, for example, a zov, who is a man with a severe level of tumah, if he supports his weight on one of these items, such as a chair or a bed, whereas in general, something which touches a tome item or a tome person becomes tome but with a lesser level of tuma, when it comes to things like a chair or a bed, if this tome person stands or sits or supports their weight in some way on the chair, then just like the person himself was an av hatuma, the father level, the high level of tuma, so too the chair gains exactly the same tumah status, and so will also be considered an av hatumah. So the Mishnah tells us that since this person who has no feet supports his entire weight on this cushioning, and he moves about on it, so samoiches shaloi, his supports under his knees, tamein midras, can become tomei medras, meaning if a zov were to use them, since he supports his entire weight on it, it's considered like a chair in some way, and therefore it can gain that level of tumah. And furthermore, according to everybody of Yedzim Bahem B'Shabbos, he can go out with these on Shabbos, since they are supporting his legs. Now, although they support the person's legs, they are not considered shoes. And because of that, although they are considered an item of clothing, and as such, you are allowed to go out with them on Shabbos, v'nechnasim b'hem b'azara, one is allowed to enter into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash wearing those, although it's forbidden to enter the Beis HaMikdash, or even the Har HaBayis, the mountain on which the Beis HaMikdash stands, with shoes on, since these are not considered shoes, as they are not at the bottom of one's feet, one would be able to go in with them into the Beis HaMikdash and into the Har HaBayis. Alright, now the third person of the Mishnah is somebody who needs even more help in walking, and what he would use is sort of the olden time wheelchair. And the way it would work is it would have sort of a wooden chair, no wheels, a sort of low wooden chair, and the person would be strapped to this wooden chair, and he would use mini wooden crutches on either side in order to lift himself up and move forward. So it's sort of the cross between a wheelchair and crutches. And as well as that, he would use the bottom of his legs, which end, of course, before his feet. He would use that to pull himself forward, and in order to protect them, he would have, again, these cushioning, some soft material underneath his legs, so they wouldn't hurt him when he touches them on the ground. So firstly, the Mishnah says, Kisei v'samoiches shaloi, the chair which he used, and that includes the chair and the crutches, as well as his supports, meaning the protection which was underneath his feet. All of those things, tamein medros, can become tomei medros, meaning if a zov, or somebody else who has a similar level of tumah, supports himself with this implement, then it will also gain the same level of tumah which the zov has. And the next part of the Mishnah refers only to the padding, the cushioning which is underneath the person's legs. The inyan b'hem b'Shabbos, that padding, that cannot be taken out on Shabbos. The reason being that it wasn't tied to him so tightly, because it wasn't the main thing used to transport himself, and therefore there's a danger of it coming off and him carrying it. However, he is allowed to go out with the chair and crutches, since those are necessary for him to walk, and he certainly won't come to walk 4 amas carrying them, since the only way he can move is by using them as support. And as long as he is using them as support, they are considered an item of clothing, and there is therefore no problem with taking those out on Shabbos. However, says the Mishnah, that Einichnosim Hem Ba'azara, one cannot enter the Beis HaMikdash courtyard with them. This is referring to the cushioning under the legs. And the reason for this is because these are worn at the end of the entire leg. The person would only use this chair and crutches if he had legs. It's just that he's missing both feet, and therefore this padding at the bottom of the feet cannot be brought into the Beis HaMikdash, since they are considered shoes. Now the Mishnah ends off with another case entirely, and that is Ankatmin. The Gemara gives 3 different interpretations of what exactly Ankatmin is, but the interpretation which most Meforshim of the Mishnayos use are big masks which go on one's face in order to frighten people. So the Mishnah says, Ankatmin Tehirin, these masks are pure, meaning they cannot become tome. Even if something tome touches them, they will not become tome. And the reason for this is because they are not considered to be a utensil, a kli. They can't hold anything. Their function is only for what they look like, and something like that cannot become Tomei. And furthermore, the Inyetzim or Hema cannot go out with them on Shabbos into a public domain, since it is not considered to be an item of clothing, or even an adornment like jewelry. Mishnah Tes, the last two Mishnayos of the Perek discuss various cures and various things which people would wear in order to heal themselves. Now, many of these don't really have a rational explanation of why that would cure somebody, but they were used as skulas and various cures in the times of the Mishnah. Now, the first one of those which we will discuss refers to a young boy whose father would go away, and before his father would go away abroad, he would take his right shoelace and tie it on the arm of his young child, his young son. And it was believed that this would prevent the young boy from missing his father too much. And interestingly, this was used specifically for young boys, because they would be closer to their fathers than the daughters would be. And so tying this shoelace to him would calm him down and make him miss his father a bit less. So the Mishnah says, Habonim Yitzim Bakshorim, young boys can go out with these knots, with this thread, this shoelace tied around him, around his arm, because since it is for curing purposes, it's considered like an adornment, like jewelry, rather than something which he is carrying. And furthermore, he is unlikely to untie it and show to his friends, since he needs it to cure him, so he won't want to take it off of him. Secondly, of name Achim Bazugim, princes can go out with bells, and this refers to bells which don't make a sound. If they still have the piece inside of them which makes a sound, then it's forbidden on Shabbos, since one can't allow this sound to be made on Shabbos. And as well as that, we're talking specifically about bells which are sewn into the prince's clothing. And because of that, there is no danger of him taking them off and showing them to people. And because of that, the princes may go out into a public domain with these bells, since they are considered like jewelry. And the Mishnah ends off, V'chol Adam, this applies to everybody, meaning anybody can go out with the threads around their arms, as long as they are using it for healing purposes. And anybody could go out with bells, it's just that the Chachom spoke in a common case, and therefore they use the examples of princes and young sons. But anybody who uses them for the same purpose may also take them out on Shabbos. Mishnah Yost, the list of interesting remedies, interesting things which were worn for the sake of healing purposes, continues. Yitzim Bevet Sachargo, one is allowed to go out on Shabbos with the egg of a locust, and this was hung from a person's ear when he had an earache. Of a Shein Shul, and with the tooth of a fox, people would wear a tooth of a dead fox in order to allow them to sleep better if they were having sleeping problems. And if they were sleeping too much, then they would wear the tooth of an alive fox in order to cure that problem. And thirdly, of a Masmarat Solov, a nail which was attached to a gallows on which somebody was hung. This was worn in order to heal somebody who had a swollen wound, to reduce the swelling of a wound. They would wear this, and all of these things which we just listed are permitted Mishum Refuah for the purpose of healing, as long as you are wearing it in order to heal yourself. It's permitted because it is viewed as an adornment, a bit like jewelry and part of one's clothing. Rebbe Meir, that is the opinion of Rebbe Meir. However, the Chachomim say, Af b'chol osur, even on a weekday it's forbidden to use these cures, mishum darchei ha'emiri, because they are the ways of the Emirites, which refers to a non-Jewish nation who lived in Eretz Israel before the Jews entered the land. And what the Chachomim are trying to say is that these are not real cures, or at least they don't usually work, and they originate from the practices of non-Jews who worship idolatry, and they are therefore forbidden under the Aveira of Chukas Hagoy. Chukas Hagoy refers to the prohibition of copying the non-Jewish customs unless there is real reasoning and purpose behind them. So weird methods of healing can only be used if they actually work. But if they don't work, then it's just copying the non-Jews' practices, which don't have any real purpose and don't work as healing, and that will be forbidden as Chukas Hagoy.